Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, and I am broadcasting from beautiful Oceanside, California. This is like another amazing day. If I wasn't here, I'd be at the beach, and I think I'm heading there tomorrow. So wanted to remind you that we are brought to this radio station by PatriotFamilies.com. That is www.PatriotFamilies.com. And I'd love to have you guys go over there and check that out. Everybody, I want to welcome everyone. Thanks, yo, for telling me about my sound check. Bill is here. We have Brown Beasley here. We have Doc, Lonnie, Rod, Mike from the Hot Seat, and Yola, many of my favorites. Somebody shoot an email to Ron and tell him we're going to have one heck of a show today. So I would like to start by explaining about some of the things that we dealt with on Ron's show. And you know, we get a little heated, but that's okay. I would be a huge hypocrite if I were to deny anyone their right to free speech and not let them be heard, or try to shout them down, or try to stifle them, or try to stop them from speaking. So with that said, I like to quote George Washington, "Meet me on the battlefield of ideas." And with that, we will go into, I know there's people aren't getting sound. Sometimes it's Blog Talk. Today my computer seems to be working. Yo said that she's getting sound, so I'm hoping it's just yours, Rod, and everyone else can hear me. I wanted to get into today, not so much, thanks, Mikey, not so much about the problems in Syria. I have been just Syria to death. They're going to do what they want to do. We're going to go into a little bit of, in a few minutes, on what George also said about foreign entanglements, and that's something that needs to be addressed also. And I think that in order to get past where we need to be, we need to start looking for solutions, because we are inundated with problems. And earlier in the Patriot Family chat, Bill said, "Do you feel like you're in a Mel Brooks movie?" And I should have asked him which one. Actually, I'm in the Addams Family TV series, because Lurch Carey is all over the damn screen, and that's enough to make anyone crazy. But here we go. So I just wanted to start with something calming, and this would be the Book of John. And this would be chapter 12, and we're going to go verse 23 through 27. "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." And then there was another one that I wanted to go, and I love John 3:16, and we all know that one by heart, but this is kind of cool too, and it really brings a lot of things home. This is John chapter 14, and this is 1 through 7. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him, which is very comforting. So these are the things that we need to focus on. I want to go to some history that dates pretty far back. Let's see. Just before I do a little bit on, we'll kind of give you the rundown today. This is history from 1876 BC, and this is one of the best books I think I've read in a long time. And it basically gives you an example of the state of what this fallen world is, that from the beginning of time until Jesus came, there was nothing but barbarism, nothing but tyranny, nothing but slavery, oppression, starvation, misery, death, and darkness. So we have a couple of blessings to think about. We had the 2,000 years ago with the birth and the crucifixion and the rising of Christ, which also started the Christian movement going westward. And then once it hit certain areas, the missionaries went back to the east and started spreading it there. But this one is actually an introduction to this book, and it's called The Seven Tipping Points That Saved the World. And it said, along the Southern Nile River, 1876 BC, Akhenaten Umsu was a strong man. At more than 6 feet and 200 pounds, with the sharp face of his Philistine fathers and the olive skin of a mother whose ancestors had been lost in 1,000 years of time, he stood above the other slaves in many uncomfortable ways. With the average Egyptian being just more than 150 pounds, it was obvious that Akhenaten Umsu had been taken care of, at least in the early part of his life, for he was not only tall, but very broad. And through the last few years, he had been terribly debilitated. He was still strong. As he toiled his back to the sun, the day passed exactly as the day before had passed. And though he didn't realize it, this day was his 17th birthday. He had remembered he might have taken a moment to consider the life that lay ahead. Nothing but toil and work and death, a million tons of rock to cut and shape and move. Sometime around the age of 30, he would almost certainly be dead. Like a calf that had been fattened at the troughs of the king before, being led to the slaughter, Akhenaten Umsu had spent his youth away from his family, fed and trained and strengthened in order to prepare him to spend his life as a quarry master, extracting and shaping stone. And that was all he would do now. It was backbreaking work, as crushing as the weight of the rock around him, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. The heat of the Egyptian summer, the unrelenting whip of the taskmaster, a fellow slave who had murdered and extorted his way to the coveted position of overseeing his lesser brothers. That was all that was expected of him now. 10 or 15 years of cruel labor, cut the stone, build the temple, sacrifice his body to the Pharaoh and his gods. The irony wasn't lost on Umsu, for he was not a stupid man. Tens of thousands of his fellow slaves would work until they died, all to build nothing but a temple in which they would bury another man. That's just part of the story. When it goes on towards the end, it says, yet sometimes he had to wonder, would men always live in such a world? He turned back to his work, never knowing that more than 1,500 years later, on the other side of the world, another child would ask the same question that he did. So this is what we came out of, and that was almost 2,000 years before Christ. So that's going back a few. Now we have, hey Ron, welcome to the show. I'm so glad everyone's here. I wanted to talk about, because I have heard so much stuff. I actually turned off GBTV today because I after the first four sentences or five, I heard so many lies from this chick who was doing his supposed history lesson. I turned it off. I couldn't take it anymore. I thought, okay, I'm going to start reading and doing my own thing. So this book is from The Real George Washington, and it says, this is his thoughts on foreign relations. And it says, he says, America must remain or maintain independence. We are an independent nation and act for ourselves, having fulfilled and being willing to fulfill, as far as we are able, our engagements with other nations, and having decided on and strictly observed a neutral conduct towards belligerent powers from an unwillingness to involve ourselves in war, we will not be dictated to by the politics of any nation under heaven farther than treaties require of us. And that was a letter to Alexander Hamilton in 1796. He also has one that says foreign relations and foreign influence. Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens, the jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of republican government, but that jealousy to be useful must be impartial, else it becomes the instrument of the very influence to be avoided, instead of a defense against it. And that was Farewell Address, 1796. One more. This is on foreign trade. This is his thoughts on foreign trade. This is good old General George Washington, later the president. His prophecy: however unimportant America may be considered at present, and however Britain may affect to despise her trade, there will assuredly come a day when this country will have some weight in the scale of empires. This was to Marquis de Lafayette in 1786. Also on foreign trade, the increase of the maritime genius of this country is now steering our vessels in every ocean to the East Indies, the northwest coasts of America, and the extremities of the globe. And that was to Comte de Moustier, and that was 1788. So these are the thoughts of our first president. I don't even want to think about the other one. So let's go to, and I also want to invite you to call 646-378-0321. That is 646-378-0321. And I have a couple more pieces I want to do. This is going back for solutions. I want to read just a little bit of our declaration. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the options of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means they're given by God, and no one has claim to them except Him. That among these are life, liberty, and I'm going to say it, life, liberty, and property, later changed to the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. And then it goes to the one of the long train of abuses, and I'm not going to go through that entire thing, but I did want to start with our little Ten Commandments in our Constitution. I call the first Ten Amendments, which would be our Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law. Let me just stop right there. Who shall make no law? Congress. Who is constrained by the chains of the Constitution? The Congress. Am I a congressman? No. I'm a person, a private person. I am not constrained in any of it. Shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And they wanted to use the word religion, because if they used the word worship, then people like Hildebeest could run around telling you when, who, where, what, and why, and how to worship. And that's why they did it. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, or nation, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. My God, that's one sentence, and there's nothing added. There's nothing frilly. There's no subtitles. There's no little notes, no footnotes, and no asterisks. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. I suggest that just with these first three, and then we'll get to the next few because they're very important, take one of these pocket constitutions. If you guys need them, give me your address. I'll send them to you. I got a ton of them. Keep them on you at all times. We're going to need them real soon. Because these police state clowns in certain areas are starting to act like little Gestapo, and we're going to need to memorize this stuff. Then we have Amendment 4. This is important. The right of the people to be secure in their persons. That would be like when you're walking down the street, in your house, your papers, which is whatever you're carrying on you, and effects, things in your house, against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So it's got to be enumerated, and it should be done by a judge, and they don't like to get woken up late at night, so let's keep that one in mind. Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy, double jeopardy, of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, that's when they stand on the fifth, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law. That's your due process clause. Nor shall private property be taken for public use or eminent domain of your house without just compensation. And they're doing it left and right. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Very important things to memorize. Amendment 7. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Number 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Number 9, the enumeration of the Constitution, I love this one, certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. By the people. And number 10, going along with that one, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, the one I'm holding in my hand, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And that's what we've got to keep remembering and saying. Okay. Now, there has been a book written by Mark Levin, and I'm only going to read this once, and this is Article 5. It can be used. I don't think we have time. We can try it. I know there's websites all over the place. There's several people that are involved, but they need a minimum of 34 to 38 states, I believe, to really get something done. But I'll go ahead and do this one paragraph, and then I want to go into some really important things on the Federalist Papers, and then I would be glad to take your calls. Article 5 of the Constitution, the Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or in the application of the legislators of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for the states, not a constitutional convention, for proposing amendments which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes, as part of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So that's something, Mikey, you can call in right now. I just had one more little couple pieces, and then we are in. So at 646-378-0321, everyone on this chat room is welcome to call. So this is, I think it's number Federalist Papers 46, Madison, but I'm not sure. But I want to get this out because there's only two small ones to read, and then we're going to do some phone calls. If the federal government ever ambitiously intrudes on the authority of the state governments, this is about the 10th Amendment, then not only would the opposition of a single state or a few states rally, but a general alarm would sound for all states. Every government would espouse a common cause. Communication between them would open up. Resistance plans would be organized together, and all states would come together with a single purpose. In short, the same rallying together would occur if there was a danger of foreign oppression, would also result from a fear of federal oppression. Unless the intrusions of the federal government were voluntarily abandoned, then the appeal to force that would occur in response to foreign oppression would also occur in response to oppression from the federal government. So I suggest you guys get a copy of this and you start reading this stuff too, because you're going to need to know it. And I just wanted to say hi to Mikey. How are you doing?
Good, Linda. How are you?
Okay, I got one more paragraph.
Yeah, go ahead, because I don't want to take you off topic. So
this
do what
is
you gotta
James
do,
Madison.
And then you bring me in.
Yeah, it says, do not separate text from historical background. If you do, you will have perverted and subverted the Constitution, which can only end in a distorted, bastardized form of illegitimate government. There we have it. So you go ahead, Mikey. What are your thoughts on
Well, first off, on the Liberty Amendments thing, I'm sure it makes a great textbook. I'm sure it makes a great, wonderful read for those of you that have insomnia. But it's too late. Well, it is. It's too late.
But it's still
there.
I mean,
well, that's great, Linda. But Mark Levin's not the only one to write a book about the Constitution. He's not the only one to make a proposal about changing things. That's been done. I've had a couple of people on my show.
Sure.
Ron has certainly articulated wonderfully how a country should be run. So it's nothing original. And
Right. You're
not going to get 35 states, 30, whatever it is,
yeah,
to have conventions and then to override Washington, D.C. It's not going to happen. So it's a very nice textbook. But as you said, that ship has sailed. So that's one point. Second point I'd like to bring in is in regards, and this is why I wanted you to wait for me until you were done, because I don't want to take you off topic. I want to go back to Ron's show. I felt that I had made it quite clear in the chat room, I said at least three or four times, that I wanted Mr. Beasley muted, not because of what he was saying. I don't have a problem with anyone's opinion. I have said repeatedly on my show, I welcome counter opinion. It gets boring when we're all kissing each other's asses for 2 hours. So I enjoy the spice. The problem I had was that he started to dominate the show, which will never be allowed on mine. He was rude, he was overbearing, he was obnoxious, and he was regurgitating the same canned MSNBC, CNN, and a little bit of Fox platitudes. And Linda, I, not just because it's your show and that I'm talking to you, but my hat is off to you, because you dissected him like a frog in science class. And you got him to expose who he really is. He is 99% of the ones that voted for Obama with the handout. Corporate America owes me this, corporate America owes me that, and I'm not going to fly all into that. I'll address that more on my show, because, you know,
sure,
I'll have more
sure
time, and I don't want to just totally, you know, take up yours. But corporate America owes us nothing. The onus is on the government. I'll get into that Saturday night. And I guess Mr. Beasley won't show up to my show because I will be talking about Syria and Egypt. And I'll close with that, and I'll let you do your thing.
Absolutely, and you can stay on the line if you'd like to, because I just had one little clip to play, and as far as on Ron's show and everything, and we rehashed it on yesterday's show. I had poor Bill couldn't speak. I felt really bad because Ron and I were like all over it, you know. But think I was pretty nice to the gentleman, and I know that, you know, like I said, meet me on the battlefield of ideas. I will never deny anyone's First Amendment. Ever.
I feel I wasn't doing that. I felt that the problem was
Right. Delivery.
It wasn't content. And when you talk over people and when you're rude, and especially when you're overbearing to the host of the show, you know what my advice is, Mr. Beasley? You want to pontificate like that, get your credit card out, register on Blog Talk Radio, call it the Brown Beasley Hour or 2 hours, whatever you need, and you could spout all you want. But when you're a caller and a first-time caller, sir, there are ground rules, okay? And no one is going to dominate the hot seat, baby. So, and anyway, I won't have to worry about that because he's not going to call into my show Saturday night because I'll be talking about Syria. And I want to close with that, and then you go on to your clip. And I'll stay on the line, but I'll close with this part of it. There's a lot of talk over, false flags and who did the Syrian gas and all of this. Here, all of those things will never, ever be proven 1,000%. I think we all can agree to that. Who did what? Here is what alarms me the most. And this is what people need to come to grips with. And I've been talking about this on the hot seat for months now. Over 90% of this country, the citizenry, does not want Syrian intervention. They don't want to go in. I hear on different radio shows that the military personnel are holding up the posters and wearing T-shirts saying that they don't want to fight a civil war for Al-Qaeda. The UN hasn't weighed in. The rest of the world doesn't, outside of France, doesn't want us going in.
I know.
And yet, Obama and Congress today, it has just been announced that the Senate panel has approved use of force against Syria. So 90% of the country says no. And we're supposed to be by the people, for the people, blah, blah, blah. They're going to do it anyway. But here's the problem.
Oh, I know
that. Right. Here's the problem, Linda. When is the American people going to realize that we do not have a voice? The votes don't count. The letters don't count. The petitions don't count.
The phone calls.
Right.
The town hall meetings. I know.
We the people have the power, as Ron and as you have said ad nauseum, non-compliance. And I am calling on the military personnel active right now that is to be deployed or is already deployed in the Middle East theater. And those of you that have families of military that are going in, lay your weapons down.
Down.
Put your pilot's helmet down and say, I'm not going.
Right.
I'm not
going. Stay on the line, babe. I just want to get area code 111. May I see who the caller is, please?
Yes, you may see. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Brown Beasley.
Hey.
I didn't know that. Thank you. I didn't know that I had any effect like that where people would still be talking about me. Now, the guy that just spoke with so much vigor, so much testosterone in his voice. I don't even know who he is. And
his
as
name's
far
Mike.
As okay.
He's on the
I don't
line.
Even know who, I don't even know who he is. I don't remember him being on the line. I don't even know who he is. I don't know why he feels the way that he does. And I think he mischaracterized me quite a bit because I'm nothing short of a gentleman. And to be referred to as rude when I've been very polite. And, I think you owe me an apology for calling me a fool because I'm far from a fool. I have not engaged in any name calling, maybe with somebody in the chat, but I was just responding in turn. But in order for enlightenment to happen and the exchange of ideas,
right?
There should be some civility. And I'm not going to stoop to the level of calling any names or even actually getting angry about any of this. We can disagree, and we can agree to be disagreeable, and I'm good with it.
Okay, well, you know, the gentleman you were speaking about, Hot Seat, is actually on the line. Did you want to respond, Mike?
Well, Mr. Beasley can go back into the podcast of Ron's show, and he can listen to himself. He can listen to how overbearing and interruptive and disruptive that he was. I think the proof is in the pudding. Secondly, if he's not getting angry about what's happening here, well, then you've got no passion. And again, and I hear that monotone, canned, rehearsed diatribe, and I think, sir, you're just here to cause disruption. I think that's your game. I mean, you've got the same cadence as Obama, that monotone pause and that little air about you. And it was only a matter of time. Linda's show didn't even start 2 minutes, and you had to remind everybody how articulate you were. No one cares. No one cares about your credentials, and it doesn't matter who I am. You want to know who I am? You check out my podcast. Yeah, I'm full of testosterone. You're right.
Okay. Well, look, I'm trying to be civil, Beasley and Mike.
Let's be civil. And you know something? I learned something a long time ago. Someone told me the best way to show that you don't care is to shut up.
Well, true. No, we're not silent
when
anymore.
When you don't care about something, you don't really have too much to say. You don't give it too much thought. When you speak so strongly, you care. And as far as no passion, I have no passion as to people in the chat room on the internet as to their opinions. Okay? As far as having passion of what's happening in the world, of course I have passion.
Right,
but I'm also cognizant of how much control that I really have.
Okay, here's
and
the deal.
And how much change I'm able to affect.
Right, this is my point when I get passionate about things. It's not so much about this person's opinion or whatever, because like they say, you know, everyone has one, like a little derriere, we all have them. But we're not always entitled to our own facts, as they say. And this is true, and we must be able to debate, and we should be civil, absolutely. But there are times when, you know, and I'm not saying name-calling. We don't have to do what Jefferson and Adams did. Boy, they got down. You think they're bad today. They got real bad.
Not as bad as Hamilton and Burr.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there were other things I could cite, but I just don't have it in front of me. Basically, my passion comes from the facts that I learned from history and what I see happening in the world like you do. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I had a huge list of things where I mentioned, if you live in a country where ABC, fill in the blank, you have to do this, this, and this, you are not free, because we have been encroached upon and we've had everything chipped away at us. It's like the frog in the boiling water, or the slow boil. This is what's been happening to us for eons, and we're sick of it. That's where my passion comes from, because we have been so thoroughly lied to for so damn long, and it's time it stops. The only thing transparent about anything in D.C. is I can see right through the BS, and it's as thick as thieves, but I got plenty of Mr. Clean, and I can get rid of it right now. Because I see that every time they open their mouths, they remove all doubt as to how communistic they are. Believe me, I've had it with them. They make no bones about it. They don't even care anymore. So that's where my passion comes from. Now, I'm like many people here. I'm going to warn you. I've got a 5-minute clip. Don't hang up. We want to have discussion. I love Ron Paul. I even like his son, although I disagree with Rand Paul on certain things. He was pretty good this week. The one I really can't stand is Rubio, and I'm glad he got booed at the town hall meeting or whatever. So this is only 5 minutes, and this is Ron Paul's take on the State of the Union. I can get it short.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last nail is being driven into the coffin of the American Republic, yet Congress remains in total denial as our liberties are rapidly fading before our eyes. The process is propelled by unwarranted fear and ignorance as to the true meaning of liberty. It is driven by economic myths, fallacies, and irrational good intentions. The rule of law is constantly rejected, and authoritarian answers are offered as panaceas for all our problems. Runaway welfareism is used to benefit the rich at the expense of the middle class. Who would have ever thought that the current generation and Congress would stand idly by and watch such a rapid disintegration of the American Republic? Characteristic of this epic event is the casual acceptance by the people and the political leaders of the unitary presidency, which is equivalent to granting dictatorial powers to the president. Our presidents can now, on their own, order assassinations, including American citizens, operate secret military tribunals, engage in torture, enforce indefinite imprisonments without due process, order searches and seizures without proper warrants, gutting the Fourth Amendment, ignore the 60-day rule for reporting to the Congress the nature of any military operation as required by the War Powers Resolution, continue the Patriot Act abuses without oversight, wage war at will, treat all Americans as suspected terrorists at airports with TSA groping and nude x-raying. And the Federal Reserve accommodates by counterfeiting the funds needed and not paid for by taxation and borrowing, permitting runaway spending, endless debt, and special interest bailouts. And all of this is not enough. The abuses and usurpations of the war power are soon to be codified in the National Defense Authorization Act, now rapidly moving its way through Congress. Instead of repealing the 2001 authorization for the use of military force, as we should now that bin Laden is dead and gone, Congress is planning to massively increase the war power of the president. Though an opportunity presents itself to end the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, Congress, with bipartisan support, obsesses on how to expand the unconstitutional war power of the president he already holds. The current proposal would allow a president to pursue war anytime, any place, for any reason, without congressional approval. Many believe this would even permit military activity against American suspects here at home. The proposed authority does not reference the 9/11 attacks. It would be expanded to include the Taliban and associated forces, a dangerously vague and expansive definition of our potential enemies. There is no denial that the changes in Section 1034 totally eliminates the hard-fought-for restraint on presidential authority to go to war without congressional approval achieved at the Constitutional Convention. Congress's war authority has been severely undermined since World War II, beginning with the advent of the Korean War, which was fought solely under a UN resolution. Even today, we're waging war in Libya without even consulting with the Congress, similar to how we went to war in Bosnia in the 1990s under President Clinton. The three major reasons for our constitutional conventions were to guarantee free trade and travel among the states, make gold and silver legal tender, and abolish paper money, and strictly limit the executive branch's authority to pursue war without congressional approval. But today, Federal Reserve notes are legal tender. Gold and silver are illegal. The Interstate Commerce Clause is used to regulate all commerce at the expense of the free trade among the states. And now, the final nail is placed in the coffin of congressional responsibility for the war power, delivering this power completely to the president, a sharp and huge blow to the concept of our republic. In my view, it appears that the fate of the American Republic is now sealed, unless these recent trends are quickly reversed. The saddest part of this tragedy is that all these horrible changes are being done in the name of patriotism and protecting freedom. They are justified by good intentions while believing the sacrifice of liberty is required for our safety. Nothing could be further from the truth. More sadly is the conviction that our enemies are driven to attack us for our freedoms and prosperity and not because of our deeply flawed foreign policy that has generated justifiable grievances and has inspired the radical violence against us. Without this understanding, our endless, unnamed, and undeclared wars will continue, and our wonderful experiment with liberty will end. And I yield back the balance of my...
And I wanted to get your take on this, both of you, and I'll do it in a second, but I just want to address that remark that he made about the TSA. There is no excuse for this. There is no reason for that alphabet organization or the DHS or the EPA or the rest of them. They should all be abolished. They should be banished from this land. I hate them. They're like Gestapo. They make me sick, and they have the IQ of a rat. And that's my take on it. There's no excuse for this because I don't believe the lies about the Twin Towers. I don't believe the lies about the Patriot Act. It's crap. That's what Ron Paul's point was. Go ahead, Brown.
Oh, I have nothing to say on this. I'm not rude and obnoxious and are going to dominate the conversation. Let someone else speak. I defer.
I'm not being rude. I'm just telling you like it is.
No,
it's
I'm
crap.
Telling you what I'm not being. I defer. When I choose to speak, my mic is open
so
and I shout.
I guess my question to you is, what do you think is fun about being X-rayed and belt up for no damn reason? I read the Bill of Rights. Apparently, they don't care about those.
When I travel,
yeah.
I like to wear loose-fitting clothing, okay? And so I find myself... No, I'll be quick. When I travel, I find myself wearing loose-fitting clothing, and I find myself, for some reason, I don't know what profile I fit, but I'm put inside this cone of silence. Remember the cone of silence from Get Smart? I don't know how old you are, but it's like a plexiglass thing in the middle of everything. And you know, I've been searched, and they rub down this and the other. In this case, I feel like they're keeping me safe.
They're not.
I feel
either.
Like they're
violating you. They have lied to
about
150 years ago.
No one.
They have lied to you.
If I felt that, I would say that. But no one's like touched me on my genitals or anything
matter.
Like that.
They have no business touching your fingernail. They have no business touching you at all. Ever.
You know what? I'm not very bothered by that. I really. No,
you've
seriously.
Got a problem.
And I. No,
you know
that's
what?
My opinion.
You're...
That's my opinion. But let me continue. If I were to get stopped and frisked in New York
you
City,
you are.
I were to get stopped and frisked in New York City, I would feel violated if I were walking down the street.
What's the difference? What difference does the venue mean? What difference does it make? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
it's taking away your liberty.
If they would have put the hijackers of 9/11, if they would have gone through, if they would have gone through a little more, perhaps it wouldn't have happened.
You know what? No.
You know what?
I'm
not going to argue with you.
Everything they tell you. No. I'm going to tell you something, sir.
Linda, you're shouting.
Tell you, I'm going to shout because it's my show. Everything that those lying rat bastards do that, everything they say on that TV and those rats in D.C. tell you, they're lying to you. Get that through your head. I don't believe one damn word out of their mouths. Nothing comes out except merde in huge quantities. Not one word do I believe. Go ahead, Mikey.
You're talking from whom? From whom? From the TSA agents that are searching you? We were talking about the CSA.
The Congress, the people in charge, the people who make these damn laws. And these
I agree with you there, but we were talking about. But you were asking me about the TSA. You mentioned the TSA.
The TSA is part of the federal government. It should be abolished from this land, sir.
All right, that's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion.
No,
you're not entitled to your opinion. I'm telling you, entitled to your opinion. I don't have any difficulty with you feeling that way.
I just said the Constitution to you. I guess that doesn't mean a damn thing to you.
The Constitution means everything to me.
Well, apparently it does because they're violating it every time they touch you. They have no business touching you. Stop listening to their lies.
You know something? I'm not hearing a lot. I'm not hearing a lot of tolerance from you. I have no problem at all.
I have no
that
tolerance.
You feel the way, and you know the Constitution
like
means everything to me.
Yeah, well, I don't like Gestapo.
Linda, mute the
like...
mic, please. Mute his mic so we can.
Why do I have to be
on.
Muted? I'm agreeing with you. I'm recognizing your right to have your opinion about the TSA. I don't feel as violated as you do.
Linda, mute the mic. Mute the mic,
and he
please.
Wants to
take
be
control
muted
of your show.
Oh my gosh! All
take
right.
control of your show and mute him, please.
Okay, I did. Okay. Go
Thank
ahead,
you.
Mikey.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. He interrupted you 4 or 5 times. You try to get me in 2 or 3 times, and he doesn't shut up. Linda, this man is a poser, and you nailed him again. Listen to what he said. He has no problem going through an airport being felt up. Yet, if he goes to New York City and he gets felt up, that's a violation. And you nailed
that's
him.
Just geography.
What's the difference? Right. There
that's
is
just
no
geography.
Difference. This man is a poser. I guarantee you. His thing is he's going to go from show to show, and he's going to take it over, and he's going to rile up the host with his BS inconsistencies. All right? He's just a guy in disguise. Now, what Ron Paul said to me is the rightful president of the United States, which is why shame on everybody that didn't go out and vote and didn't push for him. I called every radio show on BTR, and I took a beating for it, and they're eating crow. The Republic is dead. The elections are finished. 2012 was the last one, and this Republic is dead unless we stop complying. Our military must lay down their weapons, and we must stop being the tax whores that we are. I'll yield back to you.
Thank you. Mr. Beasley, you have anything else to say, sir?
No, I respect your right to have your feel the way that you do about the TSA. Doesn't bother me, disturb me at all.
I don't understand that, but that's okay. I guess
you don't
that's
understand.
Why.
I'm respecting your
right. No. I don't understand that you want someone to feel you up and do this stuff to you.
I never
like
said
a Nazi.
I want someone to feel me up. You're sticking words in my mouth, Linda, and
no,
that's just not sanitary.
You said
it's not sanitary.
You said that it doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me. I have never been felt
thing.
Up, or and I've never
Apparently,
felt I've been violated
thing.
By these people searching.
Oh my
I
God.
Haven't been. I don't feel like you do. I share. I have a different opinion on this minute part of my life.
I got news for you. Do you
realize?
So
if I disagree with you on something that I don't have the passion that you do about this.
No, but I don't.
I don't work myself up and get riled up over these things that they're. It's a very, very minor part of my life. In fact, I don't even think I've only been on a plane one time this year. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to go through it.
It shouldn't be this way. This you do not live in a free republic. You live in a statism, evil, oppressive government when they do this to you. And they have lied to you about the Twin Towers. They have lied to you about every single thing on 9/11 so they could get their damn Patriot Act and their DHS and their TSA.
I agree with you there. I'm just not that bothered by the TSA.
Then
you
I don't
are.
Understand
you
that.
Can be.
No, that,
well, you don't.
Me.
You know something?
No, I can't understand
it's okay.
That.
You know, and you have to realize that it's okay for people not to understand why other people feel the way they do. You can try to, but it's no reason. It's no reason to mute me or argue with me. It's not that important to me. If it's important to you, we can't find any agreement on it. I'm happy to move on to something else.
Okay, here's something that I have to explain to you about why I get passionate on this. What you're saying to me is not logical. That's why I get upset. It is illogical. And Constitution Hour, you're up.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just wanted to call in and give you a break to take a deep breath, take a sip of wine.
I am.
relax. You know, I think you know as well as anyone here that I think the whole TSA thing is an abject joke, a bad joke at that. But at the same time, I think in the grand scheme of, you know, placing levels of importance on the problems that we face, it's kind of down the line. It's not as high as some of the others. But, yeah, it pisses me off. It's an irritation to go in the airport. You know that. I told you I'd take your shoes off. And it would be a problem for me if they wanted to feel me up. And I don't care. If others don't agree, that's fine. But I just didn't want to see you get so focused and worked up on the one issue.
I know. Well, it's just illogical that anyone can handle, you know, being forced at gunpoint. And I won't even say Zero's name because apparently, you know, somebody's worshiping at the idol of that clown.
I don't worship anybody. I worship God just like you do.
Okay.
Don't tell me who I worship. You don't speak. You shouldn't speak for me. I'm articulate and I can speak for myself.
The problem was
you don't need to put words in my mouth.
I wasn't.
You
did it yourself.
For me.
Hey,
you
Linda.
You did it yourself when you lost the point. You were lost. The point was lost on you as to why I did the parable. Completely lost on you.
Hey, Linda.
You know what? I didn't get your joke. I didn't think it was funny. Wing ding. Get over it.
Hey, Linda.
Oh my God! It wasn't a joke.
Linda.
Well, whatever it was, it didn't appeal to me. You want
you know
everyone
why?
To think exactly
why?
Like you do. The world
wanted,
doesn't
no,
work
no, no,
that
no,
way.
No.
The world
no, no, no.
is not going to agree with you
do
all
you know
the time.
Why? I didn't say that. Do you know why you didn't get the point? Because you're uneducated.
Tell me why. You
That's
seem to know
why.
More about me than I know myself.
Yeah, you're uneducated. Because when you open
right.
your mouth, it falls out. There you
okay.
go.
I'm also
absolutely
a fool. I'm uneducated.
Hey, you know
I'm a fool.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Okay,
okay,
somebody else speak.
Because I disagree with you on the
well,
TSA.
Well, you'll have to mute him again so someone else can talk, by the way.
Why don't you talk, since you're so smart?
Well, I'm trying to, but you won't shut up.
Okay,
that's
I
the problem. It. And you just repeat the same shit over and over again. It's interesting, Linda, there's four people on this call line right now, but as soon as you said about worshiping at the altar of Obama, he had to speak up. How did he even know you were talking about him?
Absolutely.
I mean, you could have been talking about me, you could have been talking about Ron, but you know what? Because he knows you were talking about him, because, Linda, you got his number. And it brings up, you do, and it brings up another quick point, how you nailed him again Monday. When he started to defend Obama, you know that old standby. Oh, he's just repeating the policies of Bush. It doesn't matter. Like you said, the man that occupies the office, the onus is on him. And then he gives this cheap shot on me, which I couldn't even call in because I mean he just owned the show Monday
right.
night.
Right.
It is important that I said that he is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. It is because it's very substantive. Because you have to look at who Barry Soratoro has been associating with his entire life. And the fact that the global elitist needed to prop someone up at the front of the table that legitimately hates America. And it doesn't mean because he plays golf for Tiger Woods that he loves it. He fundamentally hates America. He hates Western civilization. It's proven
yep.
in his book. It's proven in Dinesh D'Souza's film, which I wonder if Beasley even saw 2016. I doubt it. Okay, so it is important. And an Egyptian newspaper came out with it. Now, it seems that Obama, there is some proof that he is. That it's not just his half-brother Malik, but that Obama himself has direct allegiance to the Muslim Brotherhood, and it's necessary. And this is why the globalists have put him in. Because they needed someone to cooperate with their agenda, and that is the final destruction of the last republic. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ron. Speak.
I'm just happy to let you all take it. I know you don't have a lot of time left, and I
got about 8 minutes. About.
I'm Continue. Actually, I'm almost dumbfounded. You know,
okay.
And I know we've been talking a very long time. And, Mike, I understand where you're coming from, and Linda, I understand where you're coming from. And in order to, I think, engage in the debate, and especially with those that you might even see as the adversary, we still have to be civil and not just jump on people. And I know sometimes that can be difficult to do. The passion
okay.
get in the way, and that's,
but
right,
Ron,
that's what I've talked about before, that cooler heads will always prevail.
I know. Okay, you guys talk, and I got Brown back on, too. So
I have nothing to say.
That wasn't
you guys, you've said it all.
That wasn't my problem. My problem.
I have nothing. I don't have anything more to say. You're muted. I don't have anything to say.
Hello?
I mean,
hello. My problem was not.
You know something? I don't want to hear this guy.
Oh, hello. My problem was not his content. It's his overbearing, dominating, interruptive style. Thank you.
Okay, Ron, and you guys go. I'm going to go pour some wine. I'll be right back.
I can understand that. You know, to me, and maybe I'm probably because I work in retail is the only explanation I can give you. Because I can assure you I can be extremely overbearing and aggressive if I want to be. But I recognize that, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has a different way of expressing themselves and a different methodology. So, you know, just like Robert, when Robert first came to Patriot Families, I was floored and very skeptical of Robert. One, because he was raised Jewish, and two, because he was claiming to be a conservative who was really liking Ron Paul, and those things just didn't align. And so I was very cautious when I talked to Robert to see where he was at, and it's he's absolutely genuine.
Can I ask you where you grew up, Ron?
I grew up in central Illinois, farmland.
Okay.
My grandparents had a farm, but I observe people, and, mm-hmm. you know, just in my personal experience, I've not met a lot of Jewish people that were, you know, considered themselves devoutly Jewish that were conservative.
I grew up in Los Angeles in New York City. I saw everything.
Sure.
I've seen huge, wide diversity of people and ideas that I'm not going to bore you with my accolades, but for anyone to suggest that I'm uneducated, you're wrong.
See, if they told me that, they'd be correct, because, you know, I never made it out of the 11th grade, so.
It doesn't mean you're without knowledge. And I listened to you speak the other day, and you have a better scope. I agree with you. You have the same idea that I have. The same thing that I know what's going on. That the banks control the corporations, and between the banks and the corporations, they control the political process, and the laws are made to favor them. That simple.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes. I'm gonna go ahead and let Mike go, and then Brown go, and then Ron go, and then we'll go.
I'm not gonna say any more, but I respect your right to your opinion. I wish you felt the same way that I can have an opinion that doesn't cause you to go haywire or lose it or become unglued. And I think it'd be only fair if you were to apologize to me for calling you a fool, because I just haven't stooped to that level.
Well, I think I did that already when I said the first time you asked me to, I did. And then we just went off the handle because I said something about the TSA, which is completely not in my purview. I mean, I'm sitting here reading.
I accept your apology. Let's let the others speak.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mikey.
Just that, again, it wasn't, once again, ad nauseum, and he doesn't understand that. It wasn't his content.
That four times in a row.
Yeah, well, but you're not getting it.
Why do you keep having to say, think of something else.
You're regurgitating the same
fact. You're shouting.
Because you don't shut up. It's my turn now, idiot. Get your own show.
He's calling names again.
That's right, because you're unschooled and you have no class. Linda.
But you're shouting.
Because you already said you were done. Linda hands it to me, and then you're usurping me again, sir. That is your problem. Shut the F up.
You
thank
shut
you.
Up.
Hey, why don't you blow me, asshole, all right? Now, mute this faggot so I can get done, please, this idiot. At any rate, so, you know, again, in closing, I think that I would never give control of my show to an individual like this. This person's agenda is to go from show to show and to just aggravate. And, Ron, I am not in retail. I'll never be in retail because I have no patience for crap like that. So
that's
that,
why you're not a doctor.
Well, that's right. I got no patience, baby. So, Linda, go ahead. Hopefully this will be the end of Beasley, because he's a cancer that needs to go somewhere else.
Okay, thanks, Mikey, for calling in. And, Ron, what's your final thought? I'm going to...
I'm at such a peaceful place right now, the last few days, that it's just about impossible for me to get upset. So maybe that's working in my favor at the moment.
Yeah, tell you what, you go down to Southwest and go through that deal, and you'll change your tune real quick.
I intentionally don't fly.
That's what I know.
That I don't like
that.
To fly. I love to, but
used to.
You know,
yeah, used to be.
We're in deep trouble in this country.
Oh man!
And if we cannot, you know, come together on just a couple of key issues, then you know.
I know.
It's checkmate.
I blew it today. Sorry. I tried
That's
not
okay.
to.
Okay. You know. I know.
But I got about 30 seconds, and I love you guys, and I want to say thanks, even for. Yeah, God bless everybody. Thank you, Mikey. Thanks, Ron. Thank you, Mr. Beasley. I know that we gave you a hard time, but sometimes you shout over people, and that's not cool. Bill, we'd love to have you call in next time. Doc, Lonnie, FT, everybody, it's been wonderful. I'm going to run out of time. And medication Oh, don't even start with me. All right. God bless. I guess this guy's trolling through. Okay. Good night. See you guys for Terry's show tomorrow. She's fabulous.